no excuses, or it's time to tell Mike Norvell deuces. Today, we're reading and reacting to some interesting comments made by FSU Athletic Director Michael Alford at ACC Spring Meetings. We also have some comments to react to from Mike Norvell at those same meetings. We have some game time announcements to drop. So lots of stuff to get to in this episode, Michael. And man, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. Yeah. You know, listen, Michael Alford came out guns swinging, blazing, whatever the phrasing is there. Now we'll see if he actually has teeth to what he said. Does he actually mean this, or is it more smoke and screens again?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I feel like that's where a lot of us are right now, is like we don't really buy into a lot of the talk at this point. Like, it just really matters what happens on Saturdays. But I think, you know, we'll get into Mike Norvell's statements and stuff like that later. But I really think some of these comments were very interesting by Michael Alford. I think they kind of lay the gauntlet at Mike Norvell's feet that, man, this really might be a do or die type of season for him. Right. Now, before we jump into that, obviously a lot of you guys have probably already seen this. We got two game time announcements for the upcoming season, as we are just over 100 days away from college football being back. I mean, it felt like forever, but it's flying up there, man. And so we're going to talk about that first. Obviously, you guys know when we scheduled the SMU game on Labor Day on a Monday night, that was expected pretty much to be a night game. Right. And now it has officially been confirmed that the kick will be at 7:30. The game will air on ESPN. You know, you got New Mexico State, so you better be 1-0 going into SMU. But I do think, you know, if you look good in that New Mexico State game, as you should, I think that's going to set that SMU game up to be a pretty good environment in Doak Campbell Stadium. I mean, this is going to be kind of the prove it game for Mike Norvell for this 2026 season, the tone setter. Like, you got to come out and have a really good showing in that game. And so I think 7:30 at night is going to set the stage inside Doak Campbell Stadium. I'm going to be there. I'm excited for that one. And then the second game, Florida at 3:30 on the Friday after Thanksgiving, Black Friday, airing on ABC. Can't really say I'm as excited for that 3:30 kickoff. You know, you were kind of hoping that would be the nighttime slot is why you took the Friday game, but you got Texas A&M kicking off at nighttime, so they ended up getting a primetime slot. You know, I guess it doesn't make a big difference in this, right? But it does for, you know, we've talked about this before. A lot of FSU fans live outside of Tallahassee. Right. So, you know, if you're like spending time with family on Thanksgiving, or like in my case where you work as a first responder, I work Thanksgiving, I'm not allowed to even take that off. This pretty much eliminates any chance of me being at that game. So I don't love this timing, but man, I am excited about the SMU game. And at least the Florida game did get picked up on the national network that is ABC. So hopefully we have a good showing inside Doak for that game.
Yeah, well, I'll start with the Florida game first. You know, last time they played Florida on Friday at home, we had the amazing Jordan Travis get out of 50 billion tackles.
Yeah.
I mean, what a game that was.
Yeah.
We don't suspect it'll be that good this year, but it's nice to see Florida State get a Friday home game. You know, they usually have to play on the road on Fridays, usually at, you know, pee on you, Carter Finley Stadium or something like that.
Yeah. Right?
So that's good. Obviously, the SMU game is kind of the pivotal game of the season. It's the game that probably will determine whether or not Mike Norvell will make it through the season or not. There's speculation that if that game goes poorly and it doesn't look good, that we could have a new coach. But you know, we'll see. So and it's gonna be a Labor Day, it's gonna be on national TV, it's the slot there, so you cannot get embarrassed. You have to show up. Florida State fans, you got to show up, pack out Doak, make it an environment, and help these boys get a win.
Yeah, for sure. Now, before we get to these statements, the next thing I want to do is bring you a quick word from today's sponsor, and that is, of course, Alumni Hall FSU. Now, look, they got great FSU gear for all the sports. You can get the ACC Championship t-shirts to celebrate for softball. They got baseball gear as they get ready to kick up the postseason as well. We'll talk about them a little bit later, but make sure you visit these guys, right? Over only 100 days, we talked about almost 100 days till football season, so it's time to start thinking about the new gear that you're going to want. You can visit them in person at 1415 Timberlane Road in Tallahassee, or of course you can order online at alumnihall.com. Navigate over to the FSU page. They got hall pass rewards, free shipping on a certain order minimums, and of course you can always save some extra money by using code SPEAR to save 10%. So make sure you check those guys out, and of course we thank them for sponsoring us and for you guys supporting them. So Michael, let's get into these comments, man, because I was reading these and I had some pretty interesting feelings about hearing these comments. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to read the comments, and there's quite a few of them. So I'm going to try and not make this real dry. I'm going to read through them And then at the end, we're going to react to them. And to set the stage for this, the ACC, of course, has spring meetings in Amelia Island, Florida every year. And Michael Alford made some of these comments. And man, I think this really sends a strong message about how he feels about the program and why there's no more excuses this season, right? And so to start with, when being asked about the expectations for the 2026 season for FSU football and specifically head coach Mike Norvell, the comments were as follows. Well, every year is important. And going into it, we've given the program the resources, the new facilities, financially invested in the coaching staff, invested in the front office. Alford said about, you know, he was answering this about the shortcomings of last season. So he's basically telling you, like, look, we have invested in this program this offseason. We have given you everything that you need to succeed. He talked about going out and evaluating players, getting the best players that Florida State can get. He said he thought that they had done a good job in that. He thought John Garrett has come in and done a tremendous job of putting processes and procedures in place. He said that him and Mike Norvell work really well together, and they have a lot of the same ideas on the type of players that belong and need to play at Florida State. Remember, they did work together in the past. I think it was 2023 when they produced that 13-1 season. And so he also comes with, so I think we're setting ourselves up for the future with the processes and the procedures to reestablish the program to where it is. It hasn't been where the standard should be. We know that. We all know that. We wanted to keep pushing and keep investing and get the program back to where it was. With that in mind, he was asked, is the investment in the roster for the 2026 season where it needs to be in order to do that? And to which he responded, yeah, I think we evaluated some great players. I think we did good in the running back room. We got some great skill. We got the offensive linemen. I think we did a very good job of going out and getting those guys. You look at our DBs, what we were able to do at safety with what John did there. I thought that was pretty good, the type of player ending up finding some talent. You saw those players come in better than what we expected, and that's something we're really happy about and looking forward to this season. He also was asked about the view on Mike Norvell in the 2026 season, at least by some, that he is on the hot seat, and how he would respond to that perception. To which, I mean, you know, you're going to get kind of a PR answer here, but we have constant communication every year going in. Mike and I are going to talk. We are going to set expectations for the year. We're going to evaluate throughout the process, just like I do with all my coaches. We evaluate throughout the process. We sit down at the end of the year, talk about the good, the bad, where we think we should be, what the resources are, and then lay out expectations. He has high expectations for the program. So do I, and so does everyone else. So those expectations, the resources are there. So now we've just got to go perform and win some games. Now, what also was interesting is at the conclusion of the final response, a reporter asked him if making a bowl game or competing for a championship was a proverbial bar in this season, to which he said, Florida State standard is always to compete for championships. To me, those are some pretty interesting, almost damning comments towards Mike Norvell, right? Like, he's not going to come out and just say, you know, if Mike Norvell doesn't win an ACC championship this year, we're going to fire him, right? He's not going to say that, because that doesn't look like you're confident in the coach that is at the helm here. But to me, Michael Alford is essentially saying, hey, Mike Norvell, the ball is in your court now. We have given you what you need to succeed. Go do it. Go prove you're the guy we gave the extension in 2023. Go prove you're worth $10 million a year. Go prove you're the offensive guru we thought you that we were getting from Memphis. And finally, go prove that Jordan Travis wasn't the only reason you ever had success here. Because right now, that's what it looks like, right? Now, recruiting is still a problem, but it all starts with winning on the field. Right. And to me, Michael, if the AD is essentially saying, we've given you everything you need to succeed, and there is no excuse that you shouldn't be winning and competing for championships, not making a bowl game, not having a losing season, competing for championships with what we've given you, then if you fall short, you should be held accountable for that, because this would now be three consecutive years of falling short of even the most modest expectations. Now, I think a lot of you guys know that the Vegas win total is set at 6.5. That's a pretty low bar.
Low bar.
That's not the standard that Michael Alford's talking about. And so to me, man, if I read between the lines here, what I'm kind of feeling is I still think Michael Alford wanted to fire Mike Norvell at the end of last year. I still think he did. I still think he got overruled because of the money issue.
Yeah.
But I do think he's kind of setting the precedent to put the blame on Mike Norvell and get that ball in motion if we have another bad season. Like, look, I've given you everything possible that you need to produce results. Maybe you can look at the LSUs of the world and things like the Texas and Ohio State and say, maybe that's not winning a national championship, but it's not making a bowl. That's why when he said, you know, is making a bowl the proverbial bar? And he says, look, we're here to compete for championships. So if you're giving him the resources to win and you're not winning, and we're going to talk about the Mike Norvell comments next, but if he's confident in himself as a play caller, if he's confident in this roster and you have the resources necessary to win, buddy, it's time to win or else it's time to go. Because the gauntlet has been laid at your feet.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, to give you a little bit of Michael's PR firm talk here, when he says, you know, every year is important. Yeah, sure, every year is important. But Director Alford, this year is more important in the history of your tenure and Mike Norvell's tenure. Let's be real. They're linked. Now, yes, I know he didn't hire Mike Norvell, but the tea leaves are out there that if this doesn't go well, they both could be looking for a new job next year. And I'm not saying he should be fired or anything. I'm just saying that's what the tea leaves are saying out there. Okay.
Yeah. It's like the saying, the baby gets thrown out with the bathwater.
Correct.
Like he just might have to go. To throw it back to you, I definitely think why I say that I think he kind of wanted to, I think he has buyer's remorse.
Yep. Yeah. I think he looks back at that contract and maybe he thinks, man, I know it was the right thing to do at that time, but dadgummit, I wish I hadn't have done it, right?
Yeah, you've burned me since.
Yeah, you've burned him since. I mean, 2 straight years, 2-10, 5-7. And I think the thing is, too, like, yeah, he's laying, like you said, I love that you said he's laying the groundwork to make it very clear. We've gone out. We've gotten you the GM. We've hired more back office people. We've put resources. We've talked about this on plenty of episodes before. You have either the second to third most expensive roster management in the ACC. You should be winning like second to third roster man behind Miami. You should be up there, and yet you're almost dead last the last couple of seasons. Okay. So we're giving you everything. We've gone out and we've found the right person to do the evaluations. Who got Duke there? We've gone out and hired back office people. We've gone out and hired more scouts. We've gone out and do this, this, and this. We've got you the football only facility. We've done the upgrades to Doak Campbell Stadium. We've done all this stuff. We have set you up to win. So if you don't win, it is no longer a resource conversation. It is no longer a, I don't have scouts, or I don't have a contractor, I don't have a GM. I don't know. It's on you. Now, it should have been on you after 2-10. It should have been on you after 5-7. But now it is really, really on you.
Yeah, 100% agree. Because again, you know, to your point, right? The recruiting in 2024 should have been a fireable offense to begin with.
Correct.
But at the end of the day, maybe you look at that like, okay, well, we gave you a chance to retool your staff for 2025 because he had really never done a major overhaul, right?
Right.
And so then 2025, they give you the opportunity to do that. And it really, I mean, it was better than 2-10, but it wasn't really good.
And Gus Malzahn.
Right. And so now you're in a position where it's like, okay, well, we built the structure around you to be even better. So now there's not even all that on your plate that you had before. All you got to do is just guide the ship in the right direction. But again, we've given you everything you need to win. So there are no more excuses. It's on you now. That's the thing, man. That's why I feel like he's kind of setting it up to where he's basically saying, man, if you don't produce this year, you've got to go because it's all on you now. It's all on your shoulders. And so we'll get into the Norvell comments that I think kind of roll into this right now. Mike Norvell, I take everything with a grain of salt, right? Because he was really excited about 2024. But, you know, he feels the when you look at what the comments that he said, because he was interviewed at the ACC spring meetings as well. He says that the season away from running the show on offense has been good for him, right? Being able to sit back and see some of the evolutions of rosters and roster turnover kind of gave me a good perspective on things I really like, things that have been successful, as well as areas where I'm not necessarily saying limit, but there just might be different ways to introduce concepts or implementation. It was a good year for me. Not for us as fans, but maybe for him.
I'm glad you had a good year.
Yeah, I'm glad someone had a good year because it wasn't us. Norvell credits the expansion of the front office with helping him feel like he can focus on proper attention on position, on calling plays, developing positions, along with Tim Harris Jr. assisting in coordinating the offense, kind of what we what we saw with Alex Atkins back in 23. When asked about the idea of controlling his own fate as a play caller, he actually dismissed the narrative. Like, that's not the situation. Buddy, read the room, okay? Yeah, this is exactly what it is.
This is exactly what it is.
You are coaching for your job at this point. Like, you sent me a graphic off of Twitter the other day where, like, the hot seats for 2026, and Mike Norvell was the top two spots.
Top two spots.
Which is hard to argue with, right? And he said, you know, I've been really good at calling plays throughout my coaching career. I don't say that in any other way than it's just true. I feel very confident in our ability and who we get to coach. I wouldn't do it if I didn't feel that way, right? And then he went on to say, I expect this to be the best year of my life. You know, if you were going to probably get paid $40-something million to not work, yes, that sounds like a pretty good year too.
Yeah, it's going to be a great year.
But he said, you learn lessons. There are times you get knocked down. I've been there. Then you get back up and you get better through it. Well, he said a lot of that same stuff after 2024 as well. Now, I know he had kind of the keys taken from him in 2025, right, but he's back. And, you know, man, the thing about it for me is, look, Mike Norvell sounds very confident, right? But then again, he was very confident in 2024, like we talked about. The best offensive line, loaded at the skill positions, all this stuff. So I take everything that he says at face value regardless. Yeah. But like he says himself, man, don't talk about it. Be about it. I think we both agree, because we both said on the show that, look, frankly, Mike is a better play caller than Gus Malzahn is, right? Yes. But the offense fell off a cliff at the end of 2023 without Jordan Travis, and that carried over into 2024 with one of the worst offenses we've seen in program history. You know, he talked about go back and look at the points from his history as a play caller. Man, well, that's great if you're a Memphis fan when you were averaging 40 points a game throughout most of his career there. It's just not been the same at Florida State. You have to produce here. That doesn't mean anything here. Right. And to his credit, I do think we're loaded at the skill positions. I think, you know, Deuce and Danzy and Boggs and the running backs I think we have set you up to have a better than 6.5 win expectation season. But, you know, it's also year two under Tony White, so the defense should be better. You know, they say the mentality of this team is different. Right. Well, let's see it, man. No more excuses. Losing seasons aren't good enough. Making a bowl game isn't good enough. 7 years into a tenure. Go prove us all wrong. And so, you know, to just expand on this a little bit before I kick it back to you, when we talk about Mike Norvell as a play caller, I mean, the hard part of it is he's not entirely wrong. Like, he's right, been a pretty decent play caller. You go back to his time at Arizona State, they averaged 37.4 points per game. They had a top 20 offense in three of his 4 years there. You look at Memphis, they were top 15 every single year, top 10 three times, averaged over 40 points a game at 41.9 points per game. That sounds great, man. That sounds like a coach I would probably hire, right? But then you right, get to Florida State, 25.8 points per game in 2020, 85th. And I'll give you some grace for 2020.
Right.
2021, 27.6 points per game, 73rd in the country. Now, you saw a big boom in 22 with 36.1 points per game, 16th nationally in scoring offense. 23 was kind of the same trend, 34.6, top 20 offense. But then Jordan Travis leaves, right? Jordan Travis is gone. And I understand that they used Jordan Travis a little bit in 2021. It was kind of a mixed system there. But it makes such a big difference to have that 6th and 7th year field general who knows this offense and was brought up in the system, knows it like the back of his hand, and had a lot of good players around it. But even when he got hurt, you saw the offense struggle to score against Florida, struggle to score, could not score without Wildcat in the ACC championship game, and then didn't do anything against Georgia. And I know you were severely undermanned there. 2024, 15.4 points per game, 131st in the country. Average at Florida State is 27.9 points per game. So sure, man, you can say you're a good play caller, but the history that you're talking about was not at Florida State. And so we need to see that, man. If the AD is sitting here saying, you got the pieces, you got the resources, you got the staff, the facility, and you're sitting here saying, I'm confident in myself as a play caller. You know, they also talked about Ashton Daniels at this thing, and he said he was better than expected in the spring. He was the clear winner of the job by the end of camp. He mentioned the skill positions and how, you know, Ashton Daniels doesn't have to try to do too much like they've had some quarterbacks try to do in the past. you are setting yourself up, man. You are like, this is what we talked about with Mike Norvell when he first got hired. Maybe you should have tempered expectations a little bit, but man, he is full speed ahead. And when you say things like that, when the AD says things like he says, if you don't produce wins, I can't defend you. Right. Because you're telling us all the ingredients were in there to make a five-star meal. And, you know, you're serving us a room temperature Happy Meal at the end of the day. And it's just not good enough. So to me, this all sets it up that, like, man, this has got to be a win or go home type of year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the thing is, Mike Norvell he's naturally an optimistic person. Yeah. Naturally. That's just who he is. He's always positive. He's always confident. The dude just, you know, he walks his stuff. I mean, and you have to give him credit for it. Like he believes in himself. He believes in what he does. He's confident in that. He trusts that. And that's awesome. That's great, dude. But like you said, when you got to Florida State, you were a great play caller. Then you got to Florida State. We give you grace on 2020. 2021, I will even say I'll give him some credit because he was totally outmanned in 21. And yet he was scheming up stuff that was like, bro, this is great. Imagine when he gets the actual talent in the house, what he could do. Then in 22, you're like, you start to see it. And in 10 of the 13 games, I mean, he was one of the best play callers in the country. But we also have to remember that three of those games, particularly one at PNU Carla Finney Stadium, where we were just throwing jump balls to a 5 of 10 receiver. Like, what are we doing here? Okay. And then you go into 2023 and can I just tell you, one game did we see that offense at its full capability, and that was against LSU. I mean, I was there in Orlando at the Camping World Stadium. That offense, nobody in the country was stopping that offense, right? Now, again, throughout the season, no one stopped it. You know, 13 regular season games, no one stopped that offense. But after that game, that offense was never the same. And it became a jump ball offense. Deep throw to Keon Coleman. Maybe Trey Benson might break off a run here or there. But it really wasn't anything of great nature. Then, obviously, with 24, absolute disaster. You had a quarterback who couldn't even throw a touchdown to a brick wall. You had offensive line who couldn't block my grandma. You had wide receivers who couldn't catch the ball whatsoever. They couldn't even get open. And your defense was just left out to dry. I mean, I felt bad for Adam Fuller that year. He got a lot of flack, but they basically gave up because they were like, they knew this offense wasn't going to score.
Yeah.
Last year, you come out, the offense has only looked that good in one game, and that was against Alabama.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't count the other cupcake games, right? I don't count those. And then the other two Power Four games you actually won were just like Virginia Tech. They were terrible, and Wake Forest. Other than that, the offense was stopped. You couldn't do much of anything. It was all smoke and mirrors. And so, again, it's just like – and, yeah, now I have to say he wasn't calling the play in 25. That was Gus Malzahn. But still, so when you're coming back next year and you're saying, well, I know what this is. I know it's going to be. Brother, you don't know what it is. Stop saying that. You don't know what it looks like. You're talking about we play for championships. Bro, you play for one championship.
In six years,
and it's an ACC title. Let's be real. It doesn't mean the same as a Big Ten title or an SEC title. And I don't even like those conferences, but it don't mean the same. So you don't know what it looks like. So you can be confident all you want, but this year is a make it or you've got to go out there and win. Get us to an ACC championship. Get us in the playoff. Then we can start talking about, you know what it looks like.
Exactly. I mean, again, I go back to the don't talk about it, be about it. Like, FSU fans are tired of hearing I'm confident in it. I know what it looks like. I'm excited to coach this guy. Yep. Okay, but go win games because it's like a horse with blinders on, right? Like you just keep trotting forward and ignoring that everything around you is on fire right now. You know what I mean? And like, that's the thing. And one point that I do want to make that's interesting, like to what you said, is from the offense last year, that offense, obviously it gets padded a little bit there with a double overtime game and also the two cupcakes where you ran up the score that really made that offense look, the numbers look a little bit better than what they were. But that offense from a lot of metrics was the most improved offense in the country last year. Right. Now, of course, you're coming from the basement, so it's not hard to improve. But the thing is, even in a year that the offense really wasn't like special, you saw how much better it could get. So kind of the bar has been set, man. Like, if you think you're this elite play caller and Gus Malzahn, who it sounds like he was kind of ready to part ways with,
yep,
was able to take the offense and be the most improved offense in the country, well, then you need to improve on that, yep, right? If you're going to be the guy who's leading this offense and calling the plays and confident in yourself and with all the resources you have behind you, it's time to put it on paper. It's time to show, again, that Jordan Travis is not the singular reason that you have been successful here, because without him, you have done basically nothing.
Nothing.
And so it's going to be interesting, man, because back to what I was saying before, I do agree that they got some nice pieces on this team,
yeah,
but that schedule is no joke. No. And so to me, you know, you look at the win total for the season, like we talked about before, 6.5. That's not good enough.
No, no.
I don't think at 7 or 8 games you should even be retained if you right. win that. But you got to get over that. You cannot underperform again. You just cannot do it. Now, to their point, in 2022, their win total expectation was 6.5, and they won 9 in the regular season. So he can overachieve. He's proved that in the past. In 2024, it was 9.5, and you won 2. So you've yep. also shown you can underachieve greatly. But what it comes down to me, man, if they're setting the gauntlet like this, like there's no excuse that we shouldn't be winning games. It's time to start actually winning those games. You've right. got to go on the road and beat a Boston College team that has a win expectation of 3.5 games this year.
Right.
You get NC State at home, who has a win expectation of 6.5, just like you.
Right.
It's time to start winning those games. Florida is under the first year of this new head coach. You've lost to an interim coach at Florida twice now.
Bruh.
It's time to start winning these games. Winning the Alabama game is great. It doesn't mean anything if you melt down the rest of the season. So, man, you just got to start winning those types of games. I mean, I even was building something for the website the other day that has some stats and stuff in it. And even it was saying that the last year, the stats said that the record was about 1.5 wins short of where their record should have been. So the thing is, you got to find ways to win these games. You can't have special teams cost you games. You got to figure out how to win games on the road.
Right.
These are things that just have to take place, right? Because, I mean, you've proven that you can do some things, right? You've proven that, but you don't have Jordan Travis out there anymore. You don't quite have the roster. Obviously, no Jared Verse, no Braden Fisk. You don't have that type of roster anymore. So the thing is, man, can you go out and can you overachieve? Can you win in the margins? Can you find the little things that you can do? Can you scheme things up like you talked about we saw in 2021? Like the tight end play in the North Carolina game. It was one of the most beautifully schemed things I've ever seen. So to me, man, when we talk about Mike Norvell, look, I know there's mixed emotions on it, and I feel the same way. I would have fired him a long time ago for the things that he's done. It's just recruiting alone. It is really almost a fireable offense. And that's a whole nother conversation when you can't get a 4-star receiver from 45 minutes up the road to even visit when he's in your top 6, and Wake Forest is also in his top 6. There's a lot of problems, but it all starts with fixing the results on the field first.
Right.
And so to me, man, I know the mixed feelings, but I want them to succeed. I'm tired of going through this, right?
Yep.
And to our point, man, Mike Norvell has had success in the past. So
if
everybody is saying the pieces are there to succeed, you got to succeed, man. There's no more excuses left. There's no more comprehensive evaluations.
Nope.
There's no more, well, let's restructure this. No. Now, I will stop on one thing before I kick it back to you that I did think was a little bit interesting when you talk about Michael Alford's, Michael Squared here. There's too many
Michael Squared
in this picture. So I do think one thing that was interesting that he said, though. So I think we're setting ourselves up for the future with the processes and procedures to reestablish the program to what it was. That could mean with or without Mike Norvell, right? And I think that's one thing that we've talked about before on the show, where if you have the kind of like external factors, right? Like where if you were to fire Mike Norvell, John Garrett is still going to be here. The scouting department is still going to be here. It's going to make the transition easier. So I think they are kind of putting some things in place to be like, man, you got to win this year or it's too bad. Because every year that you allow this to go on, and again, I'm rooting for Mike Norvell. I'm rooting for this team to win games. I'm rooting for them to win 9 games or so this season, 10 games, and get in the playoffs. That's what I really want. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not betting my money on it to happen, but I'm rooting for that to happen. But, you know, again, man, the thing is, like, when you get down to the brass tacks of the situation, if everything is on the table to win and you can't produce and you haven't produced in, what, 4 out of the 6 seasons you've had, would now be 5 out of the 7 – you have to sit back and ask yourself, where are you at as a program? How serious do you take yourself as a program?
Right, right.
You know, I heard someone talking about this the other day. Like, I get $40-something million is a lot of money to fire somebody. But Penn State found the money. LSU found the money. Florida has paid probably $500 million in freaking buyouts over the last decade in coaches. Like, if you're truly serious about being a contender, and I know maybe our financial situation is different than the others, but your AD's telling you they're investing at a high enough level to win championships.
Right.
It's time, man. It's either time to get with it or get gone.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Listen, you know, oh, man. Yeah, the thing is, the standard is the standard. And if we're going to say that, if we're going to hold people to that, if we're going to say we're Florida State, we're a blue blood, we're three national champions, NFL, all those things, if we're going to say that, then we have to, we got to stop talking about it. We got to be about it. And in my mind, you know, Mike Norvell needs to win at least 9 games. Yeah. In my mind. Like I think there's a worthwhile conversation that if he gets to 8 wins and all we do is go to a bowl game, is that enough? Like, I know it's like 8 wins. You shouldn't fire a coach. But, man, after 7 years,
yeah,
this would only be the 3rd winning season he has at the program. This ain't Florida State anymore. This is just another run program. This is USF or UCF. Like, that's not what we're supposed to be.
Yep.
So, to me, I don't care if you're confident. I don't care if you think you know what it looks like. The proof in the pudding is you don't know what it looks like, and you got to do something about it. And if you don't get to where we need it to be after 7 years, then it's time. It's time to say, all right, we're going to spin like the big boys. Let's go get a big boy coach. Let's go get a coach who's actually going to get us to where we need to go. And I don't think Mike Norvell. I think Mike Norvell is a great coach for the G5 level.
Yep.
That's where he needs to be at. That's where he belongs.
Yeah, because you recruited the G5 level. And at the end of the day, you can talk about all the X's and O's, but it still comes down usually to the Jimmys and Joes. And
exactly.
Again, I know we don't have the most resources in the country, but you got enough to do better than what you've been doing, right? And the thing with the standard is, as we kind of get ready to wind things down here, is like every year that you allow that standard to get farther and farther in the rearview mirror, it starts to erode. Mm-hmm. And then you start to wonder, like, will we ever get back there? And so that's why if you don't meet the standard, you've got to do what's necessary to get back. You cannot let it keep slipping away. And to your point, I loved what you said on the last episode. This is not what every fan in the world expects their program to win a national championship every year. You know, Miami fans still think they're going to win an ACC championship at some point. But the point of it is, as you said last time, this was the standard you set. This
you
was the standard that you said to hold you accountable for.
Correct.
This is the standard that you talk about. The standard is not making a bowl. It's winning championships. So 7 years into a tenure, making a bowl isn't good enough, especially when you've told us everything is there. So to me, man, if you're going to say the standard is the standard, you got to practice what you preach.
Absolutely.
And it's just got to show on the field. There's no trophies being given out for what you say at the podium. Lord knows Mike Norvell would not win anything for his talking points. But, man, that's just where it is, right? That's just where it is. So if you talked about it, it's time to be about it. And let's see if they really, to your point, let's see if there's any teeth behind this. Because if you don't win and you don't hold up that standard, man, you got to go. And that's all there is to it. But, again, I'm cheering for them to win because it's what's good for the program.
Absolutely.
What's best is not paying $40 million to make a coach not coach, right? But – enough is enough.
Yep.
You've said the ingredients are there. It's time to produce.
Yep.
So that's going to be it for the football talk today. Not a whole lot to go on. So we just wanted to come on and talk about these quotes and react to them because, man, again, it's setting the bar pretty high for the season. And to me, it's removed all the excuses. It has removed all of them. You got to produce. It's on your shoulders now. You are fighting for your job, and it's time to produce. Point blank, period. Now, the last thing I want to say before we get out of here is, you know, Michael, I was going to congratulate our ladies softball team on the ACC championship. I'm still going to do that. We are in some hot water right now against Stetson. We probably won't have the final score by the end of this game. It's not looking good right now. So we need a late game rally by them. But I did want to quickly touch on baseball as well, because it's always worth celebrating a time that you beat Miami. And what a freaking game it was, man. Down 6-1 in the 9th inning. You're just like, man, I think a lot of us had probably checked out at that point. Like, man, this is what are we doing, right? Yep. That we can't beat Miami. And then just the most miraculous comeback. I think I saw something today where like Miami had like a 80, 85, almost 90%, you know, percentage to win the game. And then it just like straight up like a rocket, man. It was amazing to see. So always love seeing disappointment in Miami fans. They thought they had already won that game. So let's go finish the series. Let's get this win. You know, Florida State is still around that number 7 in RPI, so you really need to get this series win to kind of get that top 8 national seed. You also did basically lock up a double bye in the ACC tournament coming up in a couple weeks. You're just mostly waiting to see the results of this and Boston College versus Georgia Tech. Looks like if you win today and they lose, then they're playing Georgia Tech. They lost 9-0 yesterday, so that's probably going to happen. You will lock up the 3 seed. And so, man, good luck to those guys as they get ready for the postseason. And, of course, always go beat the Canes. But, Michael, that's going to be it for today, man. I think this is going to be a short one. We'll go ahead and wrap it up here. We appreciate you guys tuning in. If you enjoy this show, drop a like and subscribe on YouTube. A rate and review on the podcast helps as well. It just helps the channel grow, and we greatly, greatly appreciate the community that we have here at Plant the Spear. Again, check out our website at plantthespear.com. We've been rolling out some new features there as well. We also have, again, we're getting real close to letting you guys in on the secret that we've been building in the background. So excited for that as well. So guys, without further ado, we're going to wrap it up here. We appreciate you all watching. As always, go Noles.